Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, now. We ask in Jesus' name that by the power of your Holy Spirit, who he alone we are dependent upon, we pray, Father, that you would speak to us and, Lord, that we would know how to look into our lives with the Word of God better than ever. That it would be the Word, the Bible, that judges us. It will be that true in the end, yes. But your Word tells us that if we judge ourselves now according to your Word, that there'll be no judgment later. So, Lord, let us walk in the Spirit. We know that you want us to do that. It's us that we're concerned about. So, Father, keep us out of the way. And while we're at it, we pray right now for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem. And we ask you, Father God, that you would turn this nation around to revival. That you would, Father, cause your people to arise. And I pray, Father, for the pulpits of America. That the pulpits of America would arise with power. Like it was, Lord, 240 years ago. That the Europeans came and they saw the reason for the revolution was because the pulpits in America were ablaze with truth. Lord, return us to those days. Start here. Start now, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to two locations. As you know, as we continue in our study, Matthew chapter 5. Go there, Matthew 5. And Exodus chapter 20. Matthew 5, Exodus chapter 20. We are now at our eighth commandment. Commandment 8 in our series on the Ten Commandments. And we come to the eighth commandment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. If there's any doubt in your mind, Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle by no means will pass from the law till all is fulfilled." The entire Old Testament, Jesus said, down to the very comma and to the hyphen, will be fulfilled. When we consider right now, and as we look to the eighth commandment, turn now to Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Very powerful commandment. Not that the other ones were not, but this one, I think, will rattle your heart. The eighth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 15. It's that horizontal commandment. That is, that it predominantly deals with us dealing with men and our lives, mankind and our lives. Exodus 20, 15 says, "You shall not steal." Thou shalt not steal. Webster's Dictionary defines to steal or stealing like this: to take or to carry away the private goods of another. The taking with an intent to take willfully that which belongs to another, and that without permission. That kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? The word here, steal, in the Bible, and thou shalt not steal, Exodus 20, 15, the word in the Hebrew means this: to thieve. It means to deceive another person by the carrying away or the taking away by stealth of that which is the physical property of another. The taking away of an object, be it an animal, a person, without an agreement or consent of the other. It's interesting to note that while the eighth commandment specifically prohibits stealing, the previous commandments, interesting enough, check this out, all of them are based on necessarily, listen, not stealing. For example, not stealing. We are not to steal the Lord's glory. We've learned that. We are not to steal his honor. We are not to be stealing the authority from our parents. We are not to be stealing the life of someone. This would be murder. We're not to be stealing from someone's marriage, be it their spouse. We're not to be stealing from someone's, in the sense of coveting what they have, interestingly enough. And now as we come to this stealing tonight, I think you might be quite surprised about how much it's permeated our culture and how much it's in our mind and how little we detect what stealing is. A worldly system, by the way, of right and wrong is in a constant state of decay. I think we all know that. We see our culture declining. Listen, it doesn't take an Einstein to figure out that we spend more money on our culture in a government way or in a social way. Listen carefully to this. We spend more money than ever on our culture in social light, social programs, in policing our culture, spending more and more to try to keep our culture sane, and yet evil seems to be getting worse. Doesn't seem to be, it is. And what's interesting about that is all the data shows that our culture is decaying. And man's laws change constantly, usually for the worse, regarding evil, regarding danger, regarding crime. You would think that laws would get better, but they don't seem to get better. They seem to be laws that are passed to protect the criminal more than anybody else. I saw in the news tonight, just coming down here, Troy Davis, I think that's his name, Troy Davis, the man that was scheduled this evening to be put to death by lethal injection for his killing of a police officer. And it's been drummed up that, we need to stop this. This is wrong. And people are picketing and protesting. And I literally heard ABC News tonight, Jeffrey Toobin, their legal analyst, say that about an hour before the execution was to take place, the man was given an injection to make him so out of it that he wouldn't know that within an hour he would be receiving a lethal injection that would end his life. In other words, they would dope him up so much that he wouldn't feel the death shot that would kill the guy regarding capital punishment. This is going on right now in Georgia, and it was stayed by the court. And I heard Jeffrey Toobin say something incredibly stupid. I can't believe the guy gets paid the amount of money to say what he said tonight. He said, and I'm sure you can YouTube it or archive it on ABC News. He said, I can't imagine the trauma that this man is going through, having received an injection that would have dulled him to the lethal injection. That was over an hour ago, so he must be waking up now to realize that it still hasn't happened yet. I can't imagine a worse bit of torture than that. He murdered a police officer. Our culture is more concerned about what the bad guy feels than what the innocent feels. Why? How does that happen? We have lost our way, ladies and gentlemen, church family. And we need to get back to what God says. And in this commandment about thou shalt not steal, there are so many today that would somehow justify, well, the reason why my son or my daughter steals is because, and they fill in the blank. And what do they do when they fill in the blank? They offer some excuse. They are a thief because, and they somehow drum up an explanation that makes everyone feel better. I want you to know tonight, God doesn't swallow that stuff. That doesn't work with God. You can think anything you want to think. It doesn't change the holy heart of God. Stealing is a sin. Well, I have a genetic predisposition to thievery. No, you don't. You started stealing cookies when you were in diapers and no one corrected you. And it went from cookies to candy to cars. And this is a very critical thing. But tonight, listen, if you can follow all the way through the message, there's great hope. There's great hope. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is altogether holy, and God is not a human. And when it comes to stealing, there's no difference to God regarding the severity of being a thief. Because human nature has a hard time of taking a good look at itself, it tends to qualify our sinful conduct in levels. And I got a little bit of information. I won't go too much into it, but we have levels now. We have things like this. We have petty theft, petty crimes, misdemeanor theft. We have felony theft. We have grand larceny. We have all these different things, and it carries with them different punishments. And I want you to know tonight, that's the way we look at things. We grade on a curve. God doesn't grade on a curve. That's why we need Jesus so bad. You say, well, I just told a little white lie, or I only stole this thing. God doesn't see it that way. The Ten Commandments are God's law to show us our need for Jesus. And it's powerful and it's true. And so by this law, it's very interesting. Those of you who have any social studies classes or maybe even a debate class, I find this extremely interesting. Or hey, for that matter, a law class. This very law, the Eighth Commandment, is a law given by God to protect, by God's decree, property rights of an individual. The right of property ownership is here in the Eighth Commandment. The right of self-preservation is here in the Eighth Commandment. And listen, identity. Isn't that interesting? You say, you just made that up, huh? Because we live in the 21st century and identity theft's a big deal. It's interesting because the word thou shalt not steal in the Hebrew predominantly, listen, are you guys listening? It predominantly means you shall not steal people. That's the original meaning of the word. We know it today as kidnapping. You shall not take someone, capture them, and exploit them to your use. The Bible says any man, any person who kidnaps, in fact, it not only says it in the Old Testament, of course, but this law implies that if you steal someone's life, you're to be put to death. Interesting. What is God saying? What is he meaning by all this? Let's take a look at it tonight as we look at the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal. First thing is this. Mark it down. Point one, we steal from others when? And we're going to be making this comment. Write it down. We steal from others when, number one, when we seek our own honor at another's expense. Will you write that down? This is very, very personal. It's very, very timely. We steal from others. We're going to look at, by the way, at others. We're going to look at ourselves. And we're going to look at God. Right now, number one, we steal from others when, A, when we seek our own honor at another's expense. What do we mean by that? That when we begin to be violating this verse, this law, this commandment, it's born first in the human heart. And when we seek to honor ourselves at the expense of another, thou shalt not steal, it implies that there are at least two people in the mix. The person that's going to steal and the person that's going to be a victim. And when a person, listen, this is weird. It's almost a psychosis. If I am thinking in my mind, if I steal this, what is it? If I steal your glasses and I'm not caring how much you paid for them. I'm not caring about how much you made them or how much you need them. I take them, and what would I do? Church, listen. What would I do if I stole his glasses? Or his jacket? Or his car? Fill in the blank. You would either put the glasses on, or you'd put the jacket on, or you would say, sell it, eBay. Whatever it is, you are taking from another person to honor yourself in your own mind. And here's the amazing thing. A lot of people who steal, if they don't sell it, or if they are en route to selling it, they'll wear it or drive it, and they'll get caught. What are you thinking when you steal something? Oh, no one will ever know. No one will ever think. No one will ever see. God sees. Thou shalt not steal is a direct violation of property ownership. And God established it. Listen, communism has never worked. Did you know, first of all, it's atheistic? Communism is pure evil. Communism is there is no God, and a few leaders get to be God. Joseph Stalin, Karl Marx, Mao Zedong, Mussolini, right? Hitler. They get to be God, and everybody else gets to work for them. Communism. The opposite of communism is believing in God. Freedom. And that comes from God. But when we seek our own honor at another's expense, we would think in our minds, I'm going to take what's theirs and I'm going to assimilate it to myself. And the Bible says that's violating the eighth commandment of God. The next thing is this, that we manipulate someone for our own gain. We would be manipulating someone for our own gain. Now listen, this is tremendous. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 25, 17, do not take advantage of each other, but fear God. I am the Lord your God. Leave that up on the verse on the screen for a second. People, look how powerful this is. Wouldn't it be amazing if this was on the front cover of every business economic book in college today? Can you imagine? What's wrong with it? Oh, we can't have that on there. Of course we can't. That would make a student feel bad who's thinking that he's going to go out and eat people up. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord your God. Listen, why is that important? Because when we really, really understand that we as a people today need to be very careful about the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Keep this in mind. It can be so subtle as something that looks like this. Overcharging someone for a job. Marking up the price. Taking advantage of someone. When somebody says, well, how much is this? And you tell them it's a different price to pad that price. Listen, God is not saying you shouldn't make a profit in business. The Bible teaches that as well. But to take advantage of someone, the Bible says that's stealing. And you and I know down deep inside when we're taking advantage of someone, when we should have said, or how about this? You want to cause somebody to have an absolute conniption, go cuckoo crazy? Do what I did a couple months ago. I went to Lowe's and I bought some sprinkler equipment and I went out to the car and I realized that in my basket, they didn't charge me for a sprinkler head. They charged me for like five of them, but I had six of them. One of them, and then go back, grab the sprinkler head with your receipt and go back and say, you know what, you forgot to charge me this. And this is what, are you kidding me? Wow, I can't believe you did that for one thing. And oh man, okay. And I go, it's okay. Just charge me. Yeah, but you know what, you bought the other stuff. And I go, yeah, okay, wait. It's a new person. I want to buy just one of these. Oh, okay. And it worked. Now, could I have driven away with the sixth sprinkler head? Yes. You know who would have been driving right alongside me the whole way home? The Holy Spirit. Hey, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? He would have been convicting me. $1.29 is not worth the hassle. And you said, Jack, you're kidding, right? No, listen, that's sin. God says it's stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, surely you mean big stuff, like grand, you know, like a car? No. No, listen. The night only gets worse if that's the way that you think. What about cheating on a test or an exam? That's stealing. That's stealing. What about moving a decimal point over? I could send you to prison if you cheat your tax forms. Think of that. Pretty amazing. The next thing is this. We steal from others when we imagine that someone or something, I should say, is owed to us. This is a big one today among so many. When we imagine that something is owed to us. Now look, it is one thing. It is one thing. Okay, I'm an employer. In the state of California, I'm an employer. I hire people. They happen to work at a church. But let me tell you, the state of California doesn't care if this is a church or not. It's a company. And I'm an employer. As an employer, if I see an employee doing a great job, a bang-up job, and I go to them and I say, you know what I want you to do? I want you to take a couple of days. In fact, here at this church, we have dot days. You're awarded dots. Remember, it worked so good when you and I were kids with a little happy face? You're given so many dots a year, and you can spend your dots and do your dots. You can have a, you can take a dot day, or you can earn a merit dot. You've done such a great job. Here's three merit dots. And you can use those all together. You can use them any way you want. You can cut them in half and you split up your day. What do you want them? Do whatever you want them. It has to be given. If an employee says, you know what? I'm going to go online. I'm going to get some dots. I'm going to download those dots, print them out on the printer. I'm going to copy those kind of dots. And I'm going to give myself some dots. I deserve some dots. You could get fired for that. You're stealing. God says, thou shalt not steal. It's one thing when someone gives you something, that's fine. And you're supposed to say thank you. But when you look at it all and say, my, haven't I done such a great job? I'm going to give myself some dots. I'm going to give myself some. It doesn't work that way. See, many, many in our culture today have this thing about, I'm going to reward myself. I've done a good job. I'm going to take the next week off. You may be off indefinitely if your boss knows this. When we begin to imagine something is owed to us. In Luke chapter 20, verse 24, Jesus says, show me a denarius. Remember this? Whose image or inscription does it have on it? And they answered and they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. You know what's so awesome about that verse? Oh, this is going to make some people upset. But here's the truth. Jesus is saying, whatever Caesar demands, give it to him. Whatever God demands, give it to him. What does God demand? Your heart. What does Caesar demand? Let me rephrase. What does God demand? Your heart. What does the government demand? Everything, right? Give it to them. You say, Pastor, now I'm a Christian pastor, and I mean, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. You're saying to me, you're a Christian, but God has told you not to pay your income tax. Number one, God didn't tell you that, because God will never violate his own word. You say, I can't pay my income tax because they use it to fund abortions. I understand that, and we all grieve with you. But here's the deal. You pay the government the taxes that are owed to the government. That's why you should vote for lower taxes. But once that cat's out of the bag, when the government has that opportunity to charge, to extract from you taxes, you got to pay, and you pay. You say, I'm not going to be an accomplice to sin like that. You're not an accomplice to sin. If you pay taxes and they take that money and fund abortions, you're not responsible for that. Christian, the legislators of our nation will stand before God on the day of judgment, and they, Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, and Dianne Feinstein will stand before God for taking your money and voting for the destruction of children. Do you understand that? Don't think that they're in power and it's just, you know, Gulfstream jets back and forth to Washington and yogurt land all day long. They're going to stand before, they have been given seats of authority. Can you imagine being a judge? I know we have judges that attend this church and they love Jesus and I pray for them. But man, I got to tell you something. I shudder over the decisions that they have to make. I mean, they make unbelievably difficult decisions. Can you imagine being a bad judge thinking that you're God? And that you're just doing this, you're just calling this shot and doing this thing with no fear, knowing that in the end, you will be judged by the judge of the universe with a stricter judgment. Oh. You think about that. So you can't cheat on your income tax. That's stealing, God says. Thou shalt not steal. Next, we see others as a means to obtain things. You can take advantage of a person. Or, you know what, boy, you know, here's a deal, and it's often by fraud. When we see others as a means to obtain things, James 5:1 says this, Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Listen to this, verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord Almighty. See, what does that verse mean? When we see others as a means to obtain things, we would put it this way. Hey, I can use that person to get what I need, what I want. I can charge that person extra, more, or double because I can get this thing. God says that's stealing. And the Bible says in James 5, verse 4, he says here that if we withhold what's due to someone by labor, if you work for someone and that boss withholds payment from you, that boss is sinning against God. I can't tell you how many times I hear that with people who are struggling, saying, Pastor, we don't know what to do. This guy, you know, we worked for this guy. He said he was a Christian and he hasn't paid us for 3 months. I tell you what, number one, I don't care what anybody says about what they are. Well, yeah, but he said he was a Christian. I don't care. What is his conduct like? His conduct tells me if he's a Christian or not. Do you understand that? If somebody says, yeah, work for me, I'm a Christian, and they rip you off, they're not a Christian. They're wolves, they're something, but they're not a Christian. Well, can't he be a Christian thief? Nope. Serious stuff. The next thing is this. We steal from others when we want what they have regardless. So what does that mean, regardless? Exodus 21:16. I said it earlier. Exodus 21:16 says, he who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. The Bible says in the Old Testament. By the way, it wasn't up until recent times that kidnapping was punishable by death. Did you know that? Did you know that another thing is that doesn't seem to happen, which is unfortunate? Kidnapping was punishable by death, and rape used to be punishable by death. Did you know that? Now, maybe in some states it still is. But when you talk about stealing, well, I'm going to get this out of this person or from this person regardless. Regardless what? Regardless of what it cost them, I'm going to get it. The stealing of someone. Listen, when a guy pressures a girl to get in the back seat, when a guy, and nowadays I have to be careful because it's not only guys doing this now, it's when a girl gets a guy drunk to take advantage of them, that's stealing. The Bible calls that defrauding one another. Did you know that? When someone takes sexual advantage of someone else, if someone loses their virginity, pressured, being pressured upon, threatened, scared, intimidated, that's stealing. God says, I'm going to take care of that person. That's stealing. What about the stealing of someone's reputation? How hard is it to build a reputation? A reputation's hard to build. It takes you a lifetime. How quick can a reputation be destroyed? In this day and age, in this computer world, where very few things are true out there, I could pick someone's name right here tonight. This is the tragic, tragic truth. I could pick randomly someone's name here tonight, and I could say on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, hey, you know what? I met this guy. His name is Billy Bob. Now, if your name is Billy Bob, I'm sorry. I didn't meet you tonight. I don't know you. But this person, thus and so. And did you know that he blank, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. And you're ruined, man. In this day and age, and what all people do, they'll look online, they'll read something, they'll read 8 words. And if it's on the end of my nose, on my computer screen, it must be true. This is a dangerous time. People's lives are being stolen. I want what they have regardless. And the human mind, without God's governance, will think of anything. Listen. Is it a sin to go to Costco when you're hungry? You all know what I'm talking about, clearly. Right? Is it okay to shop at Costco? Of course it is. But if I say, let's go to Costco. We got to pick up a few things and I'm starving. Do you know what I'm meaning? You just walk down every food aisle and you get you have shrimp cocktail, you have chocolate milk, you have cake, you have salami, you get to have some pita and hummus. Next aisle, you get to have some beans. I mean, you never order that in real life, but I'm joking, but you wonder, you can try this. Go to Costco sometime and kind of stand near one of those little free things and see how many people eat like there's no tomorrow and they never buy the thing. Don't you feel like when you sample it, you got to buy it? It's like a sense of obligation. And you feel so bad because the lady's cooking it. She's got that little hat on and she's going, it's really good. And you go, thank you, it's great. Right? It's like, what? But should you go to Costco and shop when you're hungry? I don't know. Maybe that's stealing. I'm not sure. The jury's out on that one. But it comes down to the level of where you're at and what you're thinking. Because we think in some grandiose way that, well, that must be stealing. That guy stole this or stole that. Wait a minute. He may have. Yes, okay. But if it's in the heart and you steal a pencil from work. See, well, I don't steal pencils from work. Do you have company pencils in your car? Well, yeah, I'll return them someday. Until you do, you're a thief. You didn't pay for those pencils. The company paid for those pencils. And today we have a generation that's saying, I want this. I want it for free. I want it now. And I'll take it for as long as I can get it and let other people pay for it. Personally, I believe it's stealing. If you're on welfare and you have met the requirements to be on welfare, then that's what the system's for. But if a person is using the system to sleep in, if a person is using the system to catch up on some rest, if a person's using the system and saying, you know what, I just deserve a break for a while, I think it's stealing. Exodus 22, verse 2 says, if a thief is found breaking into your house, and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. Wow. The Bible says, if a thief breaks into your home to rob you, and you punch the guy in the nose, he falls down and hits his head on the aquarium and drowns. That's serious stuff. Well, I was only stealing. You say, well, I don't agree with that. The United States, the formation of our government, got its laws from the Bible. In what is called the sins of choice, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 10, it lists a thief in there. A person who steals. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous, that's those who practice these wrong things. That's what the word unrighteous means, to practice the wrong things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Don't trick yourself. Don't fool yourself. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor, what does it say, verse 10? Thieves. These are sins of choice. Covetous people, drunkards, revilers, extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. Thievery, stealing. Point number two tonight, it's this. Point number two. We steal from ourselves now when we take for granted what we have. This is amazing. Have you ever seen like a movie or read a book or seen a situation where some rich kid or some rich guy gets caught stealing? When he can buy anything and everything. What's going on? It's not that they're trying to get away with something. They have reached a point where they're not appreciative or thankful for what they have. And they go out as a predator, as it were, after other people's stuff. It's amazing. When we take for granted what we have, we're no longer thankful. We will be tempted to steal. It's amazing. In 1 Kings 21, you can just write it down. There's no, read the chapter later. But 1 Kings chapter 21, King Ahab, he had everything. Remember that guy? Ahab, he was a real goofball. He had a wife by the name of Jezebel. And he, one day, 1 Kings chapter 21, read it later, he sees Naboth's vineyard. And it's a beautiful vineyard, little vineyard, beautiful thing. And he walks up to Naboth and he says, I want your vineyard. I like it. I want to use it. And I'll pay you for it. And Naboth says, well, it's not for sale. It's mine. It's been in my family generation forever. And the king of Israel goes back home and he sits on his couch and he starts to cry, the Bible says. And his wife Jezebel comes home and says, what are you crying for? You're the king. Grow up. Put your boy pants on. Stand up. What's wrong with you? And he says, Naboth's vineyard's really cool and I really like it a lot. And I want to use it as a vegetable garden and he won't sell it to me. And she goes, so take it from him. You're the king. He had everything. Didn't appreciate what he did have. And a king was reduced to a thief. Isn't that bizarre? Didn't King David do the same thing? You say, what? When did David steal anything? He stole Uriah's wife. Her name was Bathsheba. He took her. The Bible says he took her. He's a thief. We don't often think of David as a thief, huh? We think of him as an adulterer and a murderer. But it all started with him stealing her. He first stole her in his eyes when he began to lust for her. Take it for granted what we have. We're not satisfied, not happy. If tonight you're not satisfied in your life with what you have, you need to pray and ask God now to forgive you and then ask him to fill your heart with contentment. With contentment. Maybe tonight you're saying, you know, I won't be happy until I have those lampshades. I just got to have those lampshades. Watch out, because if that kind of stuff gets a hold of your heart, that's the thing you're going to focus on, and you won't be thankful for anything else. That's a dangerous thing. Next, we steal from ourselves when we fail to take control of our temptations, when they come to us. This was amazing stuff I found out today looking at this. We fail to take control of our temptations. Then we begin to rob ourselves. We begin to injure ourselves, as it were. Listen to this. This sounds silly, but this is a big deal. When we fail to take control of our temptations, apparently a whole lot of people in America are tempted when they stay at a hotel. Did you know that? Did you know that hotels are ripped off on a daily basis? Number one in this order, silverware. Silverware. Honey, put that in your carry-on. Silverware. Number two, salt and pepper shakers from hotels. Third, coffee and teapots. Oh, look, there's a teapot showed up at our door. I guess it's ours. Isn't this amazing? What are people thinking? They're not thinking that they're stealing, I don't think. Towels. Linens. Man, that was a comfortable bed. I mean, that's nice. Get all that stuff and pack it away, will ya? For the price they're charging for this room, let's take this bed. May you be taking home bed bugs as you leave. And then here it is. Next one. I had to laugh at this one. Hotel robes. Now, I thought about that for a minute. If you're staying in a hotel that's nice enough for you to have a robe, if you're paying that kind of price, go to Linens and Things, will you, and get yourself a robe. I mean, you can afford that. When we fail to take control of temptations, fraudulent insurance claims, fraudulent medical claims, auto, homeowners insurance, fraudulent claims, even life insurance claims. People will fake their death to get money. And it's, is this stealing? God says, thou shalt not steal. Companies that report that their employees are stealing, listen, companies have reported employees stealing equipment, office supplies, I mentioned pens earlier, and information. Employees selling information from their company to other companies. That is a felony. You go to prison for that. Listen to this. Companies also reported time card fraud and what's called false whereabouts. Lying about time worked or lying about outside office time. The company sends you down to Newport Beach to pick something up at the airport, and it takes you 4 hours. And they say, where were you? Oh, man, you know, traffic is really bad. And it's not true. You're stealing. You say, what? How could I be stealing? Listen. Cyber theft is a big deal. Companies report personal internet use on company time. It's against the law. Using a company's time, they're paying you. And you go online instead of working. You go online and you're Googling your friends or your Facebook in the world, or you're, you know, checking to see what time the movie starts when you're off from your terribly brutal job. You're stealing. God says, you're a thief. You're stealing. Well, the company's loaded. They got big bucks. It doesn't matter if you work for Bill Gates. You're stealing. Personal identity theft. I think we all realize what that is. Huh? That's stealing. That's one of the biggest. Stealing another person's identity theft. Wow. God says it's stealing. Next, when we tolerate a spirit of selfishness, that's stealing. You even think about that? I never thought about that. Selfishness. When we tolerate it, we justify our selfishness. You know what made me think of that? Was what I would just call false ministries. I put false ministries in that category. They tolerate a spirit of selfishness. What do you mean? False ministries are the ones that cry out. They just drip asking for money. They might have a radio program or a television program. They show the program or they broadcast the program for 15 minutes and then they spend the next 15 minutes asking for money. I think those are false. It makes God look bad, doesn't it? Well, if you don't want the kingdom of God to implode and vanish on your watch, send us 100 bucks and save the world. Those guys have always blown my mind. Always. And I've yelled at the TV at them for 30 years. They've not once heard me. But my heart breaks, though, when somebody gets up in front of the camera and they say, if you just send us right now, many of you can afford $1,000 right now. If you just write us a check for $1,000, God will bless you. God will strengthen you. God will give you the world if you just send us $1,000. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. They're talking about me, my faith. They're challenging me. And if I just have enough faith, I can just send $1,000. And so I get up to my TV and I would say, excuse me. Hey, you. You exercise faith and have your program as God provides. If you've got the faith, Mr. TV evangelist man, Mr. Faith dude, you send me $1,000. And you exercise the faith. Huh? Can I have an amen? What is with that? Next, when we refuse to trust God for everything, we're stealing. When we refuse to trust God for everything, we're stealing. You say, what do you mean by that? Many times, listen, this is a tough one. I can't spend too much time on it because I'll get in really big trouble here. Listen. Okay, credit cards are not sinful. In fact, if you know how to use one, are you listening? Yeah. Young people, listen. Credit cards. If you know how to use one, they can make you money.
What?
Pay the credit card off, whatever you buy. In fact, listen, I never carry cash. I'll buy what I can buy with my credit card. But I won't buy that thing unless I know I can pay it off when the bill arrives. Or else I won't buy it. Here's the deal. When I use the credit card, for every dollar I spend, I get either points or miles or something that equates to money. Or else I won't use my, I won't, if I'm going to buy a $100 item and they don't take my credit card that has awards on it, thank you, I don't need it. I leave. Why? Because I am not going to buy that thing unless it's going to give me something back. And at the end of 30 days, zero out your account. Or else don't buy it. The moment you cross the line, the Bible says, owe no man nothing. The moment you cross the line and get into debt, you are putting yourself in an area of danger in the sense of, in fact, if you ever read the fine print on your credit card, you won't be able to sleep at night. And I'm not joking. You are leveraging yourself. You are in such a dangerous situation. If you can't make that payment, they can call what's called the loan. They can call your loan on that card. They can make your life very unhappy. Be very careful. Trust God. Because many times, you know, somebody will buy something they shouldn't have. God never told them to buy it. Now they're indebted to it. They're using the card or the credit card more, and they've created this world that's sinking, and God was never in it, and you should have trusted God in the beginning. And when you recover out of that mess, you trust God. And if you can't control a credit card in your pocket, don't own one. America is in deep trouble, but there's some great data right now coming out of the private sector of Americans are starting to actually save money. It's kind of upsetting the economy because Americans are putting money in the bank right now, which is a miracle. We steal from ourselves when we deceive ourselves about self-worth. Stealing is a sin. I think you all know that. What we're talking about this is when we deceive ourselves about, I've got to have that thing. Mark down this reference. You can look at it later. It's in Joshua chapter 7. Do you remember Achan? They're at the battle of Ai, and Israel lost the battle. Joshua is shocked. These guys were a bunch of losers. We should have blown them over. We should have been done with this war in an hour. And they whipped us. What happened? And he throws himself in the ground. Joshua's crying, God, what happened? What happened? We should have stayed on the other side of the Jordan. And God says to Joshua, stand up like a man. Joshua gets up. He's standing there. And God says, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. One of your guys... in yesterday's battle, took stuff from the enemy, concealed it, put it in his tent. I told you guys to not steal anything from any culture, any people. And this guy Achan, he did it. You can read the details of that. It's not pretty. But the Bible there tells you that Israel lost a battle because a man had concealed his thievery. And if you're, listen, if you're stealing and you're getting away with it, I promise you, I warn you, in love, you're not getting away with it. God will turn on the light. Better repent of it now before God sends the police. Amen. Or whatever. Because he loves you. He won't let you get away with it. And then we'll just end right here. We steal from God when we misuse our position. We steal from God when we misuse our position. You say, what do you mean position? I mean the position of who you are, what you have, your possessions, your influence, your person. Well, listen, we misuse these things. We steal from God. God has invested in you. Every one of us. Church, God's invested in you. God has invested in you wonderfully. Whoever you are, God has seen fit to have you be his child, and he's invested in you. And to not present yourself to him like that is to misuse the very position God has given you. Malachi chapter 3 tells you about that. God says, and I paraphrase it. You can look at it. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. Because the children of Israel did not exercise themselves properly with God, God says, you've been robbing me. You've been robbing me. And that didn't need to happen. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 and 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Put God first. Next, we steal from God when we exhaust our energy. See, what do you mean by that? Very quickly this. Remember Adam and Eve? Of course. Eve is listening to the serpent beguile her and tells her, if you just eat of the fruit, you'll be like God. You'll have all these things. And the Bible tells us that when she saw that it was good for all these things, she went and she took of it and ate of it. Imagine that for a moment. She listened to the lies of the devil. She walked over to the tree. She reached up and picked that fruit and she ate of it. I may be making this sound like a little bit of an effort she did. She listened, she walked over, she picked. But was it not a gigantic waste of the energy that God had given her? You and I, God, every day, God gives us opportunities and energies. And listen, if we do not yield our very being to him, we are robbing from him. We are stealing from him. Also this, we steal from God when we poison our worship. We can be stealing from God. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 13, Jesus went into the temple of God and he cast them all out that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Why? Because they were selling, the people were selling money changers. They were saying, you can't use common money. You got to use religious money to worship. They made up money. So you had to pay an exchange rate. They were prostituting religion. And you can't use those animals. You have to use our specially approved animals for your sacrifice. So the poor people had to pay for that. It was all about worship, and they were exploiting people. And that's a very, very wrong thing. When we steal from God, we're poisoning worship. So that's why when we come and when we sing to the Lord, we want to be single-minded, single-hearted. He's actually listening to us when we worship. He really is. And you are loving on Him or not when we worship. We steal from God when we waste our time. This is epidemic in our world today. I don't need to belabor it. We're all guilty of this. When we're tired, I don't know about you, when my brain is fried Sunday afternoons, I don't even golf. You guys all know that. I do not golf. And the world's a better place for that. But I don't know why. You know what? I'll sit down. My brain hurts after third service. And I'll turn on a golf program. And I'll watch these people golfing from Pebble Ridge or Beach or wherever it is. And I'm like this. Why? I'm vegging. I'm just vegging. And after an hour of watching that, I'm still pooped out. But I know this. If I just actually took a walk and started praying, or went out in the backyard and sat and talked to God, I'll get re-energized. Why? Because God doesn't honor my waste of time. I'm just going to watch this program. You know that look we get on our face when we... Isn't it weird? It's like we're being embalmed or something. It's weird. We steal from God when we abuse our abilities. This one convicts me. That's why it's down here at the last. I was hoping I wouldn't get to it. This is the last one. When we abuse our abilities, I want you to think about yourself for a second. Under abilities, you can put a lot of things. Abilities, what you can do, what's possible for you to do, opportunities. When I look around the world that is unfolding before all of us, I think about that one. Am I and have I used every opportunity, every ability to reach every neighbor on my street for Jesus? No. I could use every holiday. I could use every day. I could use every news broadcast. Come on. I could go to their door and say, did you see today's news? In fact, today's news, it's amazing. Right here, Zechariah chapter 12. Listen, the Bible talks to us about a time and an age in which this is going to happen. I'm not saying that's happened today. I'm saying we're getting close to it happening. God bless you. Have a nice day. But couldn't you do that? Couldn't I do that? See, I'm thinking too much about either what I want or what I want to do or what I don't want to do, or I think thoughts like, well, what will they think of me? I don't know when we're going to get it into our heads. They already think we're nuts. They really do. And God's been convicting me lately about, why am I playing it so safe? He's given me all kinds of warnings, man. The world's gone nuts. There's global violence, economic collapse worldwide. Israel's the focal point of the news. Everything about Daniel chapter 9 warns us about a peace treaty in the last days. And all the news is about Israel signing peace with its neighbors. On and on we could go. And somehow I'm playing it safe. Oh. I'm not using all my abilities. I think, you know what? I think if I actually got sold out for God, I think some pretty serious stuff could happen. And in some ways, I've been hiding. See, what do you mean hiding? opportunities. I've had opportunities to do things that any other people would die to have. And I said, no, I'll stay home. Why? Hey, you can meet this person. You can talk to this guy and you can... That's okay. Let somebody who really wants that do that. I'm thinking of me. When maybe it was God opening that door, you know? Jack, I set that up for you. You ever have times like that? Am I just talking? Yeah, some of you are nodding your head. What's with us? Lord, forgive me of my stealing. I chose my way. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, I spend too much time saying, Lord, come on. Just my will a little bit. Let's pray. Father, wow. We need such a cleansing. From our sin. Father, we pray that I would think the ultimate thievery would be to take this life that you've given us and never give it back to you. Never return it to its rightful owner. Every one of us, if we're honest, would have to confess we never owned our lives to begin with. And that only those who return their lives to the rightful owner, you, win in the end. And Lord, as a church, we ask you to forgive us, search our motives, cleanse our hearts, wash our hands. Cause us, Lord God, to take stock and inventory from the company's pencil to the tick-tock of the clock. I'm either blessing you or I'm stealing from you. And Father, I can think of too many times when I just wasted away that hour. So Lord, as a church and as a people, give us a mind and a heart and a soul to not only redeem the time, but to get ready. There's such a sense, Lord, of nearness of your coming. We ask you to cleanse us now, to forgive us and wash us clean. And pray that even now you would come for us. And my friend, tonight as we end, if you don't know Jesus, tell him right now. Tell him right now, right where you're at. Say, Jesus, I want to know you now. I want you to live in my life, God. If all this stuff's real, Jesus, I want you. You who died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the grave to guarantee me eternal life. My sin and shame removed, to forgive me of stealing. Call out to him now. Ask him now. He'll forgive you right where you're at. Make him the Lord of your life. In Jesus' name.